The Bible said in Romans chapter 4, verse number 1, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God. I don't know why. I wasn't reading my Bible last week, but I was meditating. We've been talking about that a little bit in Psalm 119, meditating in the Word of God. And it just seemed like the Lord stopped me on that little phrase, Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Let's pray just a moment. Please pray for me. Father, we love you tonight, and it's all because our Lord, you first loved us. Lord, I do pray tonight. Lord, whatever days I have left on the earth, that you'd help me to fall deeper in love. God, I don't want to grow stagnant in that love for you, in that love for your people, in that love for your word. I pray, dear Father, tonight, that you'd give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to us this evening. Help us, our Lord. And God, if you'll help us, just could be that we could go out of here this week and be a help to someone else along life's way. In Jesus' name. All of God's young and said, Amen. I want to show you just a few phrases before we go over to Hebrews chapter 11 tonight that I thought would be a good way to introduce the message. First of all, let me say this. I have a Scofield Bible, several of them, and I don't agree. I don't claim to be a scholar, but I don't agree with everything that C.I. Scofield says, but I do use that Bible, have used it for years. And to be honest with you, would be kind of lost without it. I'm just used to a lot of times, Brother Randy, I can't maybe quote chapter and verse, but I know where it's at on the page. And if I just know it's in the epistles, I'll put my finger on it in just a minute. If I know it's in the gospels, I'll put my finger on it in just a minute. But I do think that Brother Scofield had a good insight into the contrast between chapter 4 in the book of Romans, and I believe it's chapter 2 in the book of James, where that the Bible said that Abraham was justified by works. And to look at it tonight, in the eyes of God, no man has ever been justified by works. He's always justified by faith. But in the eyes of man, we are justified by our works. I've often said it like this. I do not believe in a works salvation. I do not believe the Scripture teaches any such thing. But on the other hand, I do believe wholeheartedly in a salvation that works. I would not depend on something that does not work to take me to heaven. I've often told folk, why would you trust something to take you to heaven if it won't even take you to church? Help me tonight. Amen. I believe real faith changes our life, and real faith puts in us a desire to be in God's word, a desire to be in God's house. I'll say this, a desire to be in God's presence. Amen. I mean, he's with us everywhere we go, but how many knows what I'm talking about? Just to kneel and pray and talk to the Lord, just be in his presence, and it begins to get sweet. But Abraham was justified by faith. I want you to look at just a couple of phrases, then we'll move over to chapter 11. Look at verse 18. The Bible said, what does this mean, Abraham believed God? In verse number 18, it said, who against hope believed in hope. Now, what about that? In other words, it was bigger than Abraham was. It was bigger than Sarah was. They were past childbearing, and against hope, they believed in hope because God said it was going to be that way. I tell you something right now, Brother Ralph, through it all, there'll be times in your life that against hope, you have to believe in hope. Amen. Though it doesn't make sense, and though it doesn't look like there's any light at the end of the tunnel, thank God you have a word from heaven and you press on anyway. Amen. Through the valley where you are. I thought that was interesting. Then look at another phrase here in verse number 19. The Bible said, being not weak in faith. Notice this, I underlined it. He considered not his own body. Let me tell you something about faith, about believing God. It has to get outside of the natural. It has to get outside of the normal. If it's something you can do without God, it's not miraculous. Amen. That's what the new birth is. It's a miracle from God. It's being born from above. It's something that we couldn't do for ourselves. We can't do for our children. We can't do for our grandchildren. But God must do it when someone puts their faith and their trust in the Lord. So the Bible said he considered not his own body. Neither, in verse number 19, the deadness of Sarah's womb. So a man that believes God is willing to hope against hope. Hope in the Word of God is not the hope that's used in this generation. It's not a hope so, think so, maybe so. But if you, matter of fact, if you'll read Romans chapter number 8, the Word of God said we're saved by hope. Amen. That hope that's portrayed in the Word of God is none other than faith in the living God. That's what that hope is. Amen. That's the blessed hope. How many believe he is coming? Amen. He's coming again. The Bible said here, against hope, he believed in hope, considered not his own body, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And then in verse number 20, I underline this, believing in God will cause you not to stagger. We've been talking about over in the book of Psalms, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I like what, I'll say more about this a little bit later on, but I read it on church sign. It said it's hard to stumble when you're on your knees. Say amen right there. Abraham was a praying man. He knew how to get a hold of God. Amen. And he didn't stagger around at the promises of God. He staggered not at the promises of God. Then look at verse number 21. The word of God said, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Let me say this to you tonight. I'm not trying to be mean, but it's a lot easier to be persuaded when things are going well. Abraham was a rich man. Abraham had all kinds of cattle. He told Lot, he said, you go one way, you pick your way, and I'll go the other way. Amen. And Abraham's choice was based on faith. Lot's choice was based on sight. And we saw what that got him, amen. But I want you to know tonight that according to the word of God here, he was fully persuaded that if God would just lead the way, it would be all right. He left Ur of the Chaldees. He left his people. He left his homeland, not knowing where he was going, amen. But he knew that God was going with him, and that God would lead the way. Turn over to Hebrews now just a moment tonight. Hebrews chapter number 11. What does it mean Abraham obeyed God or Abraham believed God? I'll give you four things real quickly tonight. Number one, look at verse number 8 in Hebrews chapter number 11. Could you imagine tonight what it would be like to have your name recorded in Hebrews chapter number 11, I'm telling you, to be a man of faith, a woman of faith. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. That's the word I want to key in on tonight. What does it mean to believe God? A person that says they're believing God and living in disobedience is not believing God. A person that believes God is a person that's willing to obey God. I remember years ago, Brother Ron, I was pastoring over in Wise County, Virginia, the Hurricane Baptist Church, and I sought counsel. I really believed in my heart that my work in that church was finished, and that I'd gone as far as the people were going, as far as I could take them. I really believed that in my heart. But the Bible said there's safety in the multitude of counselors. And I talked to four different men, all of them my senior. I've always had a great respect for older men of God. And I'll say this, if you don't, you have a problem. Amen. I'm talking about men that's been there, men that's walked with God, men that's walked through the fire, men that stood the test, men that stayed with the truth, amen, of the Word of God, when it wasn't popular to stay with the truth of the Word of God. I sought counsel. Each one of those men, in so many words, told me the same basic thing. Preacher, I'd pray. I'd wait on God. You have a family. I'd wait for God to open the door before I moved. In other words, before I resigned. And all of that was good, and I took it to heart. I'll say this, there's nothing wrong with having respect for the man of God. We should have respect for the man of God. One day I was reading my Bible, and God said, Abraham obeyed me. He didn't know where he was going. I tell you, in a moment of time, God just let me know. There's a lot of uncertainty. Lord, I don't know what's around the corner. I don't know what waits on the other side. But God, I'm going with you. I'm stepping down. I'm going to obey you because I know you have taken care of me and you will take care of me until I get home. Amen. I tell you, God bless my wife will tell you. I could tell you till midnight. Story after story after story how God blessed us. How God met our needs. You say, preacher, how could you do that? Well, I just happened to believe God. Amen. And no, he wanted me to move. And so I moved. Amen. And I tell you, God has been good. Abraham would say to you, maybe, you know, it wasn't easy to pick up. It wasn't easy to obey God. How many believes obedience is better than sacrifice? That's what the Bible teaches, amen. We need to obey God. To believe God means we will obey God. The Bible said here, he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance. He obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. I say this to you. Listen, I could even bring it down to sitting out here on the parking lot a couple years ago. Do y'all have any idea what was going on in my heart? I wanted to know the will of God. Brother Ralph, there's a fear. Amen. There's an uncertainty. And I tell you, when God spoke through his word, you just go with God and leave it up to him. He'll take care of it. He nailed it down. I thank God we serve a God that doesn't want us wandering with a question mark. He wants us walking with an exclamation point in the will of God. Amen. I'll tell you, if you want to know his will, he'll show it to you. He's not in the business of hiding his will from his people. But we must be willing to be obedient. I use this because I know I've used it before. And I'll probably use it again. But there may be somebody here tonight that's not seen this. A lot of people think the will of God works like this. They hand God the paper. They say, now, Lord, you fill that in. And I'll tell you what I'll do, Lord. I'll pray about it. And I'll think about it. I'll study about it. And God, if I like it, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just sign it right down here at the bottom. And I'll do it. You'll never find the will of God like that. Let me tell you how you'll find the will of God. Turn it over, blank paper. Sign it. Hand it to the King of Kings. Tell him to fill it in. Go wherever he wants you to go. Do whatever he wants you to do. Be whatever he wants you to be. for the glory of God Almighty. That's what Abraham did. He obeyed God. He didn't know where it was going to take him. He didn't know how long it was going to keep him. He didn't know what it was going to cost him. But he obeyed God. He obeyed God. First of all, I see in the text the word obeyed. The next word I see in the text, I don't really have it in the text, but this is the word that represents what's going on. Abraham prayed. You say, preacher, you mean Abraham obeyed? Yeah, he obeyed. That's pictured in the sojourn. But number two, it's pictured in his son. When Abraham has that knife lifted up and he's fixing to plunge it into the chest of his son, Isaac, he's obeying God. He's leaving all the consequences to the Lord. He's willing to obey God. You say, preacher, where does that kind of faith come from? Let me just say this for us, talk about that a moment. That kind of faith pleases God. The Bible said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For we must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You say, preacher, where does that kind come from? Not only did Abraham obey, let me tell you what Abraham did. Abraham prayed. When Abraham traveled, he built an altar. He built an altar. You say, preacher, what kept Abraham looking for something that God built? I'll tell you what kept him looking for it. Something that he built. He built an altar. And if you have an altar and you talk to the God of heaven, then you'll be looking for the same thing God's looking for. Amen. And I believe with all my heart, Abraham prayed. And then the word of God tells us down through here, he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham believed God. He caused him to obey, caused him to pray. But it caused him to embrace something. Look here with me, if you will. Through faith also Sarah received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. We know that Abraham, listen, I love the word of God. Abraham had a lapse or two in his faith. So did Sarah. You say, preacher, why do you love that about the word of God? God let us know that they were human. God let us know that even though they had a lapse in their faith, God honored their faith. If you and I would have, by the way, Jesus said there wasn't a greater than John. And John had a lapse in his faith too. He's down there in the jail and he sends his disciples, go ask Jesus, art thou he or should we look for another? How many's far enough down this road to know? Praise God, we don't have to look for another. That's him, the Son of the living God. He embraced, what did he embrace? The Bible said, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. How did it happen? What did Abraham embrace? These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them. That's what he embraced. He embraced the promises of God. You say, preacher, I don't understand what's so important about that. Let me tell you something right now. If you live very long, there'll be some dark days. If you live very long, there'll be some deep valleys. You say, preacher, what's the promise of God going to do for me? I tell you what, it'll do a lot if you'll just believe Him. In other words, there'll be times when you can't sense His presence, but because He promised, you'll know He's present. There'll be times when you don't understand how in the world this could all be working out for good. But when you believe God, you'll know it is working out for good. To them that believe God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God didn't say all things were good. But he said they're working together for good. I tell you, there have been times in my life when my wife has whispered a song. When everything was all wrong at my house, she'd get to singing to me, "Brother Larry, everything's all right in my father's house." And remind me when I couldn't see him, when I couldn't sense him. There were times when I didn't even think I could serve him again. He came through. Why? Because of the promises that he made in his precious word. I've had people to say, and I've said it, and you've said it, "I can't." And we can concentrate on that if we want to. But what we ought to concentrate on is, he can. When I can't, he can. When I'm not able, he's more than able to do what needs to be done. Amen. Abraham obeyed. Abraham prayed. Abraham embraced the promises of God. I believe they meant a lot to him, don't you? I believe they did. They meant a lot to him. He confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Abraham, because he obeyed and because he prayed and because he embraced the promises of God, he was made a pilgrim on the earth. I don't know about you. It's not all the time. Maybe because I don't live as close as I should all the time. But there are some times I get homesick. There are some times it hurt my heart so bad when that little 2-year-old boy just a week or two back. I tell you, I hold my grandbaby and think about that little boy. Missing. They found his body. He didn't make it. I knew he couldn't make it in those elements. Missing. Let me tell you where he is. He's in a place, amen, where he'll never be lost again. The boy, I guess, had a little bit of me in him. They said he would kind of run off and hide. A little bit of that maybe mischievousness in him that he got from Adam. But at 2 years old, I'm convinced when David said, "I can't bring him back, but I can go be with him." If I didn't have another text in the Word of God, that'd be good enough for me. I know where David is because he's right here in this chapter, in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. It made him a pilgrim. The Lord gave me this statement a while ago as I was thinking about this. Think about this just for a moment. How many of you all have ever heard the statement, somebody say, "He is a self-made man"? How many's ever heard that? A self-made man. And normally, it's intended, Brother John, to build that individual up. You know what I mean? In other words, he got in there and he worked hard and he was diligent and he went at it. And nobody handed it to him, so to speak. But I'll tell you something. I don't believe God is interested in self-made men. I believe he's interested in spirit-made men. I believe if we could talk to Abraham tonight, he'd say, "I didn't make it. I didn't make me what I am, but thank God the Spirit of God made me what I am. Help me to believe God." And the Word of God said it was counted unto him for righteousness. When you go over there and you think about a man that would obey God to the point, in verse number 17, I believe it is, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac." I keep thinking, it's not original with me. I don't remember the preacher that I heard say it, or I would give him credit. But Abraham was tried. He was tested. The Word of God talks about the trial of the faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth. I've said this for years. I'd rather be tested now. Find out what I've got's real or not real. Than I would to go through life without a test and find out over yonder that what I've got's not the real thing. Amen. But Abraham was tested. The statement that I heard the preacher make, or I read it, is that God tests us. Sometimes the word is even used, tempts us. Abraham was tested by God. But God tests us to develop us. He's not trying to hurt us. He's trying to help us. God is never trying to hurt us, but He's trying to help us. And so God tests us to help us or to develop us. But Satan tempts us or traps us to destroy us. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your testimony. He wants to destroy your children, your influence upon your children. He wants to destroy your family. And He wants to destroy my family. But here the Lord tested Abraham. When he was tried, he offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Word of God's telling us he received the promises. He embraced the promises. He hung on to them. And he offered up his only begotten son. Now watch this. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So Abraham is fixing to take the life of his son. What's going through his mind? I've often thought about the kind of faith that he had. Isaac looks over and says, Father, I'm paraphrasing, here's the wood, here's the fire, where's the lamb? I tell you, Brother Rose, it says something that Isaac knew there was supposed to be a lamb. He had been around Dad long enough to know that God required a blood sacrifice. Where's the lamb? Abraham didn't say it just like this, but in so many words he's saying, son, don't worry yourself with that. God will provide Himself a lamb. Not for Himself a lamb, but Himself a lamb. But you know, the greatest verse, I believe, concerning Abraham's faith is the next verse. Listen to what it said. Accounting that God was able to raise him up. Look at these words. Even from the dead. Now wait a minute. I'm going to show you something here in just a minute. From whence also he received him in a figure. He said, preacher, I don't know what Abraham was going to do. I believe I do. I believe he was going to bury that knife up in that boy's chest. To us, he would have been a young man. I believe he was going to kill him. But he had all the confidence in the world that God couldn't break his word. And God said, in thy seed, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. I believe Brother Ron, he aimed to just step back as his son was bleeding out. Say, okay, now Lord, I put him down. You'll have to get him up. That's what the Bible says right there. He knew that he could raise him even from the dead. Go with me back to the book of Romans and I'm done. Watch this now. Verse 21, being fully persuaded, Romans 4:21, that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone Isn't that wonderful? God didn't just write this for Abraham's sake. He wrote it for you. He wrote it for me. That it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. Watch. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Let me ask you something tonight in closing. How silly is it to believe God for the most important thing in the world or out of the world, our eternal salvation, and not believe him for everything else along the way? I put my soul in his hand. Amen. Somebody said one time, I got a lot riding on this book. You know what I say? That's a good place for it to ride. The Word of God is eternal. Settled in the heavens. That's a good place for it. Joshua had a lot riding on this book. He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He had a lot riding on this book. Abraham had a lot riding on this book, on the promises of God. But let me tell you about that that's riding on this book. It's going to ride right into glory one day after a while. Whatever it is, whoever it is, we'll make it by the grace of God. Abraham believed God. I want us to just ask ourselves tonight the question, do we believe God? What are you believing God for right now? It's humanly impossible. I've got some things on my heart and on my mind. I love the two words in the Bible, but God. The children of Israel said in the wilderness, can God prepare for us a table in the wilderness? You say, preacher, what does Abraham's faith do for a man or a woman? I'll tell you what it does. It changes can God to God can. I like that song. I've not heard it in a long time, but he's bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my problems. Bigger than all my fears. That's the God I serve tonight. Bigger. Bigger. Sometimes when we go through the valleys, all we need really is just to believe God. When we're on the mountain, we need to believe God. There's been an emphasis in the last several services out of Psalm 119 put on the Word of God. I close with this. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. How we need this book. The psalmist this morning said, oh, how love I thy law. Let's leave here tonight believing God. Believing God. Believing God. It pleases him when we trust him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to open the Bible. The privilege to read about a man named Abraham. Lord, the faith that he exhibited challenges us. Lord, I only have one son. I love him dearly. My grandsons, Lord. I, Lord, just cannot imagine the test that Abraham faced that day. Lord, as far as I can tell, the disciples only really ask you for two things. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. John also taught his disciples. Then, Lord, they said, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, I can't pray for each individual, but I can pray for myself and for the church that you've given me the privilege to pastor, and ask you, God, to increase our faith. Ask you, Lord, to teach us to pray. I pray, God, that in the days ahead, we could live in such a way and have such a faith that would please our Heavenly Father. Abraham believed God. Help us, dear Lord, to do the same. Lord, not too many people in this hour are believing God, but help us to believe and trust you. God will give you glory.